Hello, and welcome to this concert podcast. I'm your host, Stacey Meadwell, and in this episode, I talk to concert director Fraser Allen and quantity surveyor Rishi Rai about housing delivery and whether MMC is the solution to meeting government targets. Now, it's fair to say that hitting housing delivery targets has been a huge failure. Fraser, what has gone wrong and why aren't enough houses being built?
Yeah, it's a very good question, Stacey. I think this government, previous governments, the targets have never been hit. There's various reasons for that going back. I think one of the main problems we've had over the last 10, 15 years is the planning process. It's becoming more and more difficult for a developer, for a house builder to get that planning through. More and more times now, local authorities are making it more difficult. There's more reports need to be done. It's becoming more and more expensive. And we've got so many planning consents just sitting in the archives of each local authority doing nothing because it's fundamentally unable to be built because it doesn't make profit for them.
Now, there's been a lot of talk about MMC. It's becoming the big talk of the industry. So coming to you, Rishi, what does MMC offer in theory in an ideal world that traditional building methods doesn't offer?
Well, in principle, it allows you to deliver a lot of homes very quickly, providing orders are placed early enough and your site infrastructure is sufficiently built to cater for that. But what MMC addresses is a number of things in terms of quality as well. So tried and trusted methods in terms of bricks and sticks, traditional building. It's something that everyone trusts in, so it's hard to move away from. MMC, I would say in the past, people have had concerns over quality and whether quality issues can be met. But in principle, there's no reasons why any of those issues can't be addressed off-site. So assuming that's dealt with sufficiently, what you can do is get homes delivered to a site and handed over very, very quickly for a very, very high volume in principle.
So Fraser, Rishi mentioned there about concerns about quality, which have been addressed. Is the thinking changing around MMC?
Without question. I mean, you know, in Europe, it's much more common practice than it is here in the UK. You know, Germany and Holland have been doing it for ages. Obviously, the government now, with all the carbon emissions that need to be cut, are looking at doing stuff across the board to try and improve that. The problem that we're going to have, obviously, is we're behind Europe. At the moment, the cost per square foot to build MMC is more expensive than a traditional build. So that is putting off some house builders even thinking about doing that. But times will change. And as we know, as we've spoken about before, within the affordable housing market now, 25% of affordable housing will have to be MMC.
You mentioned it's being used a lot more in Europe. Is it being used in different parts of the UK more? Is it something that we're seeing a lot more in London, or is it something that's being thought about more outside of London?
Yeah, I think traditionally at the moment, certainly outside of London, the reason for that is purely logistic. You're craning these things on site, and in London it's very congested, whereas in more rural areas, it's a lot easier to do. But you're seeing some of the larger house builders, without giving too many names away, who are now actually thinking and getting their own MMC sites in the UK to build that type of product.
Now, one of the things that has changed recently is the provision of MMC as part of affordable housing. Is it 25% of affordable housing provision has to be built using MMC? Could you explain a bit about how that might actually work and where it applies, Fraser?
Yeah, this is a very interesting question, Stacey, because I've actually been speaking to a number of affordable housing providers to ask them how this is going to work. And, you know, 25% of a building or an apartment could be the bathroom and the kitchen, whereas the other stuff would be traditional build. Also, speaking to a number of them, they seem to think that, oh, because they're doing a timber frame, for example, that qualifies as an MMC. So will there be too much change with what they're traditionally doing now? It's a question that needs to be answered fairly quickly, I think. And it seems to me that there is differing arguments from both sides. You can speak to one affordable housing provider who has this view, another has this view. It seems that a lot of them are going to just try and use the timber framed approach as saying that's their 25% on MMC, which isn't what these guidelines were set out to achieve, of course.
So moving on to talk about the implications a bit more. I mean, obviously you mentioned sort of like different interpretations of the 25%. What about things like mixed tenure sites, quality of the build? What are the implications?
I think Fraser's covered some important points there, but I'll just add to what Fraser said is there's the different types of residential properties and elements within the sector that need to be addressed. So if we're talking about traditional homes, that's one thing versus high-rise buildings and apartments. And even within the affordable market, that's very different to the private market, and the private market or developer who needs to provide a percentage of affordable homes. Goes back to the same question and point that Fraser answered, how will that 25% be met from a private developer's perspective, not just a housing association type organisation? So when we're talking about mixed tenures and shared ownership and affordable homes and affordable rent, when you look at any scheme, you want a consistent solution for the development. You don't want to be splitting techniques and methods or to have a mismatch that will just make the scheme commercially unviable anyway.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, Rishi. I think we have to remember as well, when we're looking at all this stuff, as you were saying there on the mixed tenure sites, this is, you know, the 25% for the affordable housing provision is residential alone. I think, as you asked earlier, you said about, have we got capacity to do all this sort of stuff at the moment? I don't think we have. If we're really honest with ourselves at the moment, obviously they've got many years to get this in action. You know, a lot of them, will they do it now or they wait till the end of the 10-year period they need to do it in? We don't know. But it's going to be an interesting process over the next few years to see who initiates these schemes. Will it be a local authority? Will it be a private developer? Or will it be an affordable housing provider? We'll have to wait and see.
Is there issue also with capacity in terms of the actual factories to produce?
Absolutely. Rishi and myself were speaking about this recently. If you're talking about the UK, I'm not sure if there is any actual physical places now that build them, Rishi. I don't know if you're aware of any.
There are a number of UK domestic suppliers of modular homes. And I think that's coming out through the frameworks that are, you know, currently going through the process since September 2020, those that have been bid and awarded. So there are some common name companies that are coming up, and as well as some new ones, but it's investment. And going back to the point of capacity, only maybe two or three of these providers have good capacity anyway at the moment to provide hundreds of units, I would say. Investing in the future is something that, as Fraser pointed out, Europe has done better to date. So that's what the UK needs to do. The more investment there is, the greater the capacity will become and less reliant on, you know, providers from Europe and other companies that are outside of the UK. But to make that happen, it does need that whole industry approach and for the sector. So it could, if this is going to be just about affordable homes, it's never going to reach its full potential. It needs the whole residential sector to be behind it. There are signs, as Fraser said, about the private developers looking into this, MMC divisions being set up, which is great. I think the confidence will grow, but the profitability of these schemes, if it's going to be a full modular home solution or full modular volumetric housing, needs to be almost proven in a way to certain people for them to want to be fully on board with it. And then the investment, I think, will flow a lot more strongly.
I think moving on from Rishi's point there, Stacey, as well, you know, the MMC, which the government are coming into, they're actually almost forcing the affordable housing provider's hand because they've accepted grants. They're saying to them, right, you accepted this grant, this new 2021 to 26 grant. Because you're taking the money, you have to do this 25%. Private developers at the moment, as Rishi rightly said, it's their decision. Now, as we stand here at the moment, yes, it's quicker to deliver on site, which means, great, the interest, the money they're borrowing, they're not paying so much. However, it costs more per square foot. So at the moment, it's a bit of a toss-up between one or the other. Hopefully in time, when we get more factories in the UK, I'm sure that pounds per square foot will come down and make it a lot more attractive to a private developer.
Presumably what the government is trying to do with the 25% is actually help push that economies of scale. I mean, I get the point about that's just for affordable and you still got to bring private, but it's kind of like it's a step, because if it's got to be done, then there's more of a business case for actually investing in those factories and the factories having that sort of throughput of orders to make them viable.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can look at what the government have been doing over the last 6 months alongside this MMC development stuff. There is also, you know, this carbon emissions where they're now saying to housing associations, local authorities, you need to retrofit your flats now to make sure that the energy assessment, the EPC, is above a C rating. So this is all encompassing. Again, it's all the carbon emissions, all the 68% they need to get to by 2030. So they're doing as much as they can. Obviously, if you're bringing stuff in, modular stuff in, it's going to reduce the footprint. You're not doing so much on site. There's not so many buildings, lorries coming in and out. But it really is, we're just so far behind at the moment, it concerns me.
Obviously, the government is forcing the hand of affordable housing providers a bit. And we've talked a little bit about traditional house builders and how you bring those on board. What are the other barriers that are stopping traditional house builders coming on board? Fraser's mentioned the environment, sustainability and the EPC certificates. What else is going to drive traditional house builders into using MMC, Rishi?
It's a huge change to their business model operations for a start. So if you're used to procuring materials, labour, bricklayers, plumbers, concrete in a traditional way, it's actually taking similar skill sets and using them in a different way. So we need more investment and training in people to deliver homes in a modular way for a start. It's a big shift culturally, I think, for the UK away from what's been done since as far back as anyone wants to remember, going back to when buildings were made of stone and castles and the Victorian period. If you look that far back, there's been some big leaps in technology, such as huge, tall, steel, glass buildings, offices, basically. But if you really think about it, what else has changed? Not much, really. So it's a very big change in how homes are delivered, I think. And it needs people's mindsets to also change and to understand the reasons why. Sustainability would be one of them. Reducing waste, building things more efficiently, using less materials, procuring things more efficiently, and bringing overall carbon footprint down as well, wherever possible.
There's a lot of talk about shortages. You mentioned about materials and reducing the amount of materials. So, you know, the industry is obviously facing shortages at the moment for various reasons of COVID and Brexit. But do you think that that might be a driver if MMC offers a way of building sort of more efficiently with using fewer materials?
I would say yes. And to the extent that any offsite operation or something that's being planned much further in advance can be managed in a different way. So if you're procuring things months and months ahead of when something's needed on site, you can to some degree monitor the capacity of materials in the market and perhaps foresee as order books fill up and pipeline goes up where material shortages are likely to be.
We've talked quite a bit about how the industry feels about MMC and the barriers to the industry using MMC, but we haven't talked about buyers and in particular about mortgages. Can buyers get a mortgage on an MMC built home, Rishi?
At the moment, with the government's new scheme of backing effectively 95% mortgages, you would think that would solve most people's problems. But from what I've read, most lenders mainstream will not be on board with that for new build homes. So the same problem's still present. And I would say that that directly affects MMC providers and there's still little incentive for them to come to the market and offer their product to people of certainly of my generation and those who are going to be coming through at a younger age as well.
We need to look back what's happened in the past, you know, in the 60s when the houses were built to help people after the Second World War and they were built with certain construction and they had the right to buy it. Over the years, they bought it. And you found that when they went to try and sell those properties, it was very difficult for a lender to lend against it because of the way it was constructed. I've spoken to a number of people about this. There is still, without question, there's uncertainty in the marketplace with regards to people lending. Will the government, with their help supplier, will they guarantee it against these MMC stuff? It's something we'll have to wait and see if they can do that. I don't know. But again, there is going to be some issues. There's no question about that. Would there only be a certain number of lenders who will lend on MMC? Will that push an interest rate up because the actual selection that a buyer has is limited? I haven't actually seen any information yet, you know, really identifying and given a certainty that there'll be 100% of mortgage lenders will lend 95% loan to value on MMC homes. I'm sure in the coming few months, the year, that needs to be sorted out and addressed, but we'll just have to wait and see. But it's obviously absolutely crucial that they do.
Yeah, and I would just add to what Fraser said, that it goes back to the point that MMC modular homes needs to become more mainstream. It needs to exist across the whole sector and be backed by everyone who's in it, because there's so many moving parts to not just construction, but to providing homes. There's policy, planning, regulation, the financial aspects of lending and the lending criteria and whether you can and can't get a mortgage. The more mainstream that MMC becomes, the more it has to be faced.
And I think adding on to what Richie said there, you know, we spoke about this 25% needs to be MMC in the affordable housing built properties. But will the lender look at what kind of 25%? If your kitchen and bathroom is 25%, oh, that's acceptable. Is it a timber frame? That's not acceptable. It really depends on which 25% you're using to get to that affordable housing provision. And then will the lender like that 25% the way that's done? Or they say, no, it needs to be done that way in 25%. These are all questions that, as far as I'm aware, sitting here today, haven't been cleared up.
Now, we've talked a lot about MMC, how the attitudes are changing, the pros and cons, the barriers. Now, the reason for talking about MMC was whether it was going to solve the housing crisis in terms of, is it going to help boost housing numbers? So I want to come back to that point. Will MMC deliver the change required to meet housing targets, Fraser?
In my honest opinion, initially, no. I don't think it will. I think Rishi's absolutely right. He hit the nail on the head when he said, you know, this construction industry is so traditional. I think out of all of the industries in the UK that have developed and progressed and moved into the tech side of things, we are still very much, we've always done it like this. We've always built bricks and mortar, and that's all how we've always done it. I think we've not been given enough credit for, throughout the COVID process, how the construction industry has survived and managed to progress and still build some things and flats and things to targets, etc. But is it going to fix the target problems? I don't think it will. I think the only way you're going to be looking at it, as we said, the private house builder will have to come on board. I think in one way that I've had a few chats with people, I think the only way that will happen is if there's some funding changes. I think you're seeing a lot of eco funds coming into the marketplace now. That's going to make a tremendous difference to the MMC. For example, if you're a house builder and this fund comes to you, but it has to be built in a specific way for you to be able to borrow the money from them, I think there'll be changes there. Is that going to happen overnight? No, it won't, because as Richie rightly said, we're still stuck and we've always done design and build, and that's always how we're going to do it. But changes are coming, as they say, and it has to. Targets need to be met. The government and previous governments have never done that. Let's hope MMC will make a difference to it. But to be fair, Stacey, we've never even come close to hitting these housing targets. Whatever government's been in, we've never been near to doing it. And MMC, I think, will make a difference in the long term. But if you're asking me over the next 2 or 3 years, I don't think it will.
Rishi, would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the frameworks that are being set up now to run for, on average, the next 5 years, that's going to be the test. And people in the industry, not just the local authorities, need to really study the outputs, because we're very good at analysing things on an individual basis, but collectively, is it making a difference? I think the time and investment, you know, needs to be put into that and further actions to improve what MMC is there for.
Rishi, Fraser, that was a really interesting conversation. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Stacey.
Thank you for listening to this Concept podcast. If you enjoyed it, then please rate, review, like, and subscribe so more people can find us.